Assalamu alaikum rahmatullah wa barakatuhu. In Sufism, there is the word, or words, insan kamil. Insan kamil means perfected man. And the point in Sufism is to go from man to perfected man. And this journey, this path, is the path of Sufism. Now, what is the difference between man and perfected man? And in order to be able to move forward on this path, you have to understand the difference. Now, as we look around, if you look outside, you'll see squirrels running around, and they're animals. If you go into the jungle, you would see many more animals. If you go to the zoo, you'll see an assortment of animals taken from all over the world. And these animals have very much in common. They reproduce, they eat, and they find shelter. And it's an ongoing thing for them to accomplish these things. Man, in his lowest self, in his lowest level, does exactly the same thing that the animals do. If you look at the way they quantify different animals, there are mammals and reptiles, and man is listed as a mammal. It has the same characteristics, at least physically, as other mammals. So what is it that begins to separate man from the other mammals and from the other animals? Well, he either can be differentiated or not. Man has a lower self. That lower self is the animal tendencies and the animal qualities. And he reacts in exactly the same way as an animal does. So the question is, what is it that is within us that reacts like an animal? And what is it within us that doesn't react like an animal? And what's the difference? And when does that difference occur? When do we remove ourselves from the animal sections of who we are to the transcendent sections of who man is capable of being? We need to know the difference. We need to know what are animal tendencies and what are transcendent qualities. And if we don't know the difference, if we can't differentiate, we will continue to act as an animal and call ourselves a man. Because we don't know the difference. Because we accept the animal qualities within ourselves and don't do anything about them. It's almost as if we are on this path in name only. We are on this path, but we aren't doing anything about actually doing what's required to be on this path. And what is required is that we do away with the tendencies that are animalistic, and we refine our qualities so that we become true man, what man is supposed to be. And what man is supposed to be is transcendent from the interaction with this world. And as long as we are not transcendent, then we are caught in doing what animals do repetitively over and over and over and accepting that as human. The prophets all came along and explained that there is another level to humanity. There is another level to true existence. And they indicated to us what these things are. And one of the major understandings is that man has to develop the ability to love in order to transcend. And if he can't develop this ability to love, transcendence isn't possible because you stay in the selfish mode of an animal. An animal does for itself and for the ones close to it and differentiates between itself and everybody else. An animal, a lion, doesn't hunt for leopards. A lion doesn't hunt for cheetahs. A lion only hunts for lions, and only for its own little group of lions. It won't hunt for other lions. And it can be like that for man. A man can hunt only for his family to the exclusion of everybody else. A man gives only to his family to the exclusion of everybody else. Seldom a transcendent man comes along who doesn't differentiate between family, between race, between gender, between religion, who is magnanimous, giving to everyone. These are rare beings in our society, and we give them special titles, like saints, or veli, which means friend of God. And a friend of God, to be truly a friend of God, you have to be a friend of man. But not just any man, all men. So saints give towards everyone. They are not, they don't separate out those who they favor and those who they don't favor. They favor everybody. They give towards everybody. We, in order to become transcendent, have to understand that kind of state of being. We also have to understand that we can't be attached to form and simultaneously be transcendent. Form is part of the creation. We have to choose whether we want to be involved with the creation or with the creator. The creator who made all this form is formless. Our time as form is limited. We come with a time span, and at the end of that time span, we disappear from the form. Now, what happens when we disappear from the form? Well, we go into a formless state. And what is that formless state? What makes up that formless state? The only formless state that can exist after this form is gone is the formless state that is made up of that which is formless and is God's qualities. God's qualities are formless. So love is formless, but it exists. We know it exists. We know how we feel when we're in a state of loving kindness and when we're not in such a state. We know what it's like to be around ones we love, ones who love us, and ones who don't love us. So we know that love exists even though you can't quantify it. We know that mercy exists even though we can't quantify it in physical terms. We can't quantify any of the formless qualities in physical terms, but they exist. And we know they exist because we've all felt them and we've all been in them. And we all know when we are in them, and we know that we are different when we are in them. So the point is to try and be in these transcendent qualities as often as possible and not to fall from the transcendent qualities. What happens is, if we get to do what we want, if we get what we need in this world, we can become in a state of contentment. But it's a false contentment. It's a contentment that's tied to obtaining the physical needs that we want within this world, or accomplishing the things that we want within this world. Can we be in the same state of contentment whether we get the things that we want or don't get the things that we want? Can we stay in the same state of contentment irrelevant of our worldly circumstances and irrelevant of the circumstances that surround us? Can we be centered in those qualities so that that center carries Allah with us wherever we go, irrespective of our surroundings? This is part of being transcendent, not being dependent on outer circumstances to create our state of being, but having a center that creates our state of being that's dependent only on our Lord and is connected to our Lord. If we begin to understand that, then things like anger and jealousy and hastiness and hatred dissipate and disappear. But if we are dependent on outward circumstances and we strive to make outward circumstances conform to our mind ideas, mind desire ideas of the way things should be, then whenever they don't conform to that set of ideals that's been set up in the movie of our mind, we run into trouble. We become irritable. We become angry. We become pushy. We become grasping because we haven't got what we want. And we believe and we make up reasons why we have to have it. In the larger context of the world, this is how wars start. I need oil, you have oil, you won't give me the oil. Okay, I'm going to take it, okay? There's going to be a war. This is the way of the world. If you reduce it to the animal kingdom, the lion has a carcass and it's eating. The hyenas want the carcass. The hyenas surround the lion and they take the carcass. It's a very simple equation. The question is, do those kind of equations run our being? Do those kind of equations create who we are, or can we bypass these equations? Can we get out of the animal tendencies and the animal way of being? Now, every one of us has this set of animal tendencies within ourselves. Every one of us has these inclinations. The Buddhists call them taints. Everyone has these taints that keep you stuck to the world. Can we overcome the taints? Can we ignore the taints? Can we dissipate the taints in our being? The prophet was asked once if he had nafs, which is the word for the lower self in the Islamic world. And he said, I have these lower tendencies also, but I have made all my tendencies into Muslims. Which means he controlled them to the point where they became believers, so they didn't interfere with his life. You see, the lower self is a non-believer. The lower self has no morality-based, God-based system of belief, because the lower self puts you in front of everything else. And as long as you are put in front of everything else, you forget your creator, you forget your Lord, you forget that you're derivative, you forget that you've been made, you forget that through God's kindness and love, our existence is, you forget that we've been given all of these gifts of sight and hearing and taste and smell. All of the senses are all gifts. We somehow lose sight of what we've been given, and we think we are the doers. And when that happens, we become non-believers. We become the idol that we worship. We don't need external idols. We become that idol. To transcend that is to become a human being. A human being understands his place and God's place, and understands that his devotion is to God. Lower man sees his devotion as to himself. And this is the big separation between man and true man. True man worships his Lord and meditates on his Lord and transcends the mundane everydayness of the animal world. Lower man worships himself and exults in the obtaining of worldly treasures and worldly importance. Somehow, we need to bypass that. And the only way that we can bypass that is to really understand the temporary nature of all of these worldly things, and that they don't really do anything for us. What does things for us, what exalts us, what makes us greater than we are God's qualities, not the qualities of this world, nor the treasures of this world. So if we are looking for the treasures of this world, gold, money, real estate, fame, power, if we're looking for these things, we are looking for temporary things to fulfill our eternal quest. But if we're truly understanding the nature of our eternal quest, we understand that to reach eternity, we have to reach the things that are eternal. To reach eternity, we have to become the things that are eternal. And we have to know what they are. Hatred is not eternal. Jealousy is not eternal. Hastiness is not eternal. Mercy is. Compassion is. Kindness is. Love is. These are the transcendent things that transcend this material world and take us to the world of eternity. Now, if you can walk in this, while in this physical body and in this elemental world, if you can walk in the eternal world, while you are here, then you have become a true human being. That's the nature of a true human being. He exists simultaneously in this world and in Hak, God's reality. He exists in this world and in God's reality simultaneously. And that's the difference between animal man and transcendent man. Animals don't have the capability of walking in the transcendent qualities. Man does. And as long as man doesn't, he reduces himself to an animal. We need to take on the mantle of being human beings, true human beings. And to do that, we have to transcend our animal nature and not be susceptible to its influence, because it clouds us. It makes us think we need things we don't need. It puts us in a torpor that drives us away from the truth. We have to react to that, turn away from that, and go towards reality. It's a constant struggle, because there are constant forces that are trying to pull us away from the truth. And there are lots of stories. There's a story of a man who was very saintly. And Satan goes after the saintly and tried with great effort to bring this man into his way of being. And so Satan turned himself into a snake and came in front of the man and said, "I'm being chased," while the man was sitting in a corner of the bazaar meditating. And he said, "You have to hide me." So the man took him and put him under his turban. And he said, "No, they have dogs. They'll smell me under your turban. The only way for you to actually save me is to swallow me." And the man, because of his seeking to be kind and seeking to be generous to a great extent and looking to please to a great extent, greater than he should have, swallowed Satan. And Satan got inside of him and was able to do his work from inside of him. So we have to be vigilant. We have to be careful. We can't go overboard. We can't be too proud of our goodness. We can't be naive in our goodness. We have to be good on behalf of God, not on behalf of ourselves. And when we love others, we have to love them because of the God in them, not because of their physical beauty or the things they've done for us. We have to be transcendent. And to be transcendent takes constant vigilance. There are sheikhs who have said this vigilance takes precedent over prayer, takes precedent over fasting, takes precedent over ritual. Because if you do all of those other things and you don't transcend, what's the use of those other things? Our sheikh once said, "If you can't fast from anger, why would Allah need you to fast from food?" And we have to understand these things. There is this whole world of non-elemental forces that we are living in while we're living in this world of elemental forces. And we have to fight these elemental forces. We have to fight the non-elemental forces to get to the forces of reality so that we can integrate with those. And it's only when that occurs do we become real. I mean, you've all heard the expression, you really can't talk to him about anything because he's not real. He's not there. If you want to be there, you have to become real. And if you want to become real in the true sense, you have to understand the word Hak, God's reality. And what is God's reality? Mercy and compassion and kindness and truth and justice. That's what makes you real. That's what makes you transcend this animal world. This is your escape from all of the trials and tribulations and the difficulties and the horrors of the existence within this elemental world. It's the only escape. And it's the route that's been given to us. These are open doors, but you have to walk through them. There's no locks on them, but you have to walk through them. There's a sheikh in the East whose name is Nasruddin, who used to teach through long stories that were jokes. And on one of his grave sites, because they claim he's buried in a lot of different places, there's the jamb of a door. No door, just the jamb. But there's a lock on the jamb. And why is the lock there? Because people can't walk through. They're busy picking a lock that doesn't have to be picked. All you have to do is walk through. It's an open secret. It's not hidden. You just have to do it. May Allah open our eyes so that we see the truth. May He open our eyes so that we can tell the difference between what's not real and what's real. May He open our eyes so we stop chasing things that can't be caught, but only chase Allah, chase reality, chase the truth, and may He make it easy for us. Ameen. Ameen. Ya Rabbil Alameen. Assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh.